Hello, Alex.
Greetings, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry about the mix-up last time. My apologies to you.
Don't worry about it. Water on the over a duck's back, as they say in the
Over a duck's back. Well, that's good.
How are
They
you?
can certainly take care of that. That's good.
How are you? Everything all right?
Everything's all right because I have a little bit of espresso left. Took my dog for a walk this morning. His name is Sherlock.
Positive.
And so I'm doing good this morning. Thank you.
Nice
How about
name,
you?
by the way,
I think so. And our other dog's Watson.
Sherlock. Cool. What? Yeah, sounds like a family to
Yes.
me. Rich Kirkpatrick, welcome to Poetry Journal. It's great to have you on. I'm glad we managed to finally get things sorted and got on the same page. Okay, so to what you do, you're a writer, consultant, and you speak about intersection of creativity. Faith and leadership is your thing. Is there anything that maybe you want to kind of just put out there pertaining to any of the things that you kind of do before we get into go further? You want to just maybe mention briefly?
I grew up as a musician and I grew up as a church musician. So I had to live by a lot of rules. And so as a creative person, that was a big deal. And all of my journey in life led to me writing a book called Mind Blown, which is about the creative process. Because I wanted to understand those of us who what they call are a little divergent. So that's one thing that's there. There's a tribe of people out there that I guess we call creatives out here who are we see in images. We see in differently. And so maybe it was a therapy for myself, but also a way to just research what is it that happens as we create. So that was something that's been burning for several years. But since I began as a young person trying to fit in very strict environments.
So it was quite the exploration type of situation in terms of like thoughts and just kind of experience in terms of like interpersonal type of thing in creating this book, or maybe sharing the experience of it.
Yeah, part of it's both experience, but then I wanted to have some science help me explain it. So it's kind of a deconstruction of what it is. So when we create something, generally when we're doing it, we don't think about it. At least we're not cognizant of all the processes going on. But after we finish, we can look over our shoulder and we could see the path that we've taken. And so what I did is try to explain both of that. So as we're creating, we can kind of find out, well, why am I stuck?
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. I really like the way you kind of you break it down and you kind of you share people things. I would imagine they probably don't normally have the opportunity to think about in such a way that you do it. It's very different, so I enjoy that. Okay, let me share a quote and then we can kind of get into some more discussion. This is another quote from a piece I wrote. It's called, this is the, I'll just read it. Hidden betwixt the darkness, all I see is glory. The future, present, and past mistakes were the earthquakes. Opportune are the stories, the remnants that gallivant. Through the jittery stance, they witness my stoic-like glance. Nothing greater than a second chance. The glance into the teardrops without a mark. All that stood was the rigid hands to wipe the grays and sops. For these moments tells a tale I never knew now. They ponder a time I would never wanted to do without. The chances taken I could never replace. The tides that swallowed me whole almost made me drown. Drinking highs like the sweetest clouds. That's all. That's as far as far as that's it for today. Firstly, any thoughts?
Well, I'm drawn in by that this idea of darkness and glory, of just sadness, but yet that what would we be without those things? The darkness sometimes is, I think artists, what we offer sometimes is we go there, and we're able to mine truth. I think this is what you're saying. You're able to mine some truth that if we had not gone through that, we feel we'd be at a loss. And I think that's a very profound idea. That generally, when you get older, you're forced with this. But when you're younger, you have to pursue it because there's so many distractions. And so, I think that's a powerful thought, especially from a young person saying, "Hey, I'm going there."
Yes, indeed. And that's the thing. It's almost like, you know, it's in a sense a leap of faith, but it's almost like you kind of have to take yourself on this journey. And some in certain instances, you might experience what ifs and buts. And I don't want to, you know, end up regretting this or anything like that. But I think to not initiate or take that leap, it's almost like you have, at this point, you literally by default have nothing but regret, you know. So a lot, yeah. I put a lot of thought into that.
I like that whole idea, because we have to breathe in to breathe out, and what you breathe out may not smell as good as what you breathe in, but that's still what life's like.
That's what life's like. A question for you. How much do you think knowing oneself and self-mastery has to do with figuring out, I like to think of it almost like a niche within creativity, where you literally belong to, or you feel as such?
That you belong to who? To your work, or?
Yeah, because I like to think of it almost like a universe. Because there's so many things that encapsulates in the realm of creativity, to a degree, it's almost like that's why we all can kind of relate to each other, because we're all trying to express the same thing, but it's just a different way, or like a different tool or different skill set. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yes, I think that self-awareness, self-mastery. I believe creativity is what humans do when we flourish, when we thrive. And sometimes what artists provide is we have a little thing that's slightly broken that we don't believe in the rules that stop us from going in that direction. And so we ask questions that some people kind of turn their head at and say, "You're crazy at this moment to ask those kind of questions." But so I think that our growth and who we are is really what we're pursuing, is question of what is the truest self? And if we don't make something from within that we can see, whether it's words in a poem or a painting that we add colors to, and all of it is a study about ourselves. And I think that's what we find out is this idea of self-actualization is really an artist's blessing and curse. But we can't help but know ourselves. That's why sometimes we feel very shameful, just because we can see it all. And we can't help but express what that is to others. But that's what others are drawn to artists. But what if this idea of creating, whether it's your indoor garden, or whether what, no matter what it is, a dinner for friends, yeah, what if everything we do can be like that, like art, that we are discovering more of our truest self? Because how can we know God, or how can we know any other human being, if we really don't have an honest look at who is Alex and who is Rich?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, that I think that speaks to the way I like to, well, the way I live it is almost like, well, I just said it, I live it. It's almost like it's a path, isn't it? And you always have to kind of embrace it. And as we know, it's not always nice. It's not always about the niceties. Sometimes it can be dark, it can be reckless, it can be dangerous. But I think that the secret to it is perhaps embracing it all, because you know, it's all that leads to, it's almost like all that leads to is discovery, understanding, exploration, and ultimately growth at the end of it. You know, I think that's where we're all trying to be, in a place where we can grow and ascend to a level of a place where it's almost like, okay, definition of evolution. You know, now you can spread your wings. And then you're like, oh, I never knew I had wings, you know? It took time for you to kind of get there. That's that's a lot. There's a lot to that, what you just said. Are there commonalities in a sense that you noticed across the board when it comes to people enshrined in the universe of creativity?
So patterns, kind of how we are alike, in other words. I believe that what researchers this is really interesting to me. I kind of created two characters because there's these interesting concepts. There's a robot and a wizard. And I'm like the wizard, where I get, and ideas will come, and I have no breaks for them. So they're coming, and then I need to somehow write it down or record it, an audio of it or something like that. Then there's the robot, who's like a scientist, who has to kind of set things in order. So speaking to just the musicians that I know, okay, some of us will scribble down quickly, frantically, the idea before our brains forget. The others will have a schedule, you know, from 3 to 4:30, I'm going to be writing, and I'm going to do it in this key, and here's the framework of it. So it's like a robot scientist. Yeah. The thing that's fascinating to me is that both people are in us. We are, and as we travel to that other person within us, the one who's, as I, the wizard, get processed. If I discover process, I can produce more art. If the robot, if he is able to discover and bridge to the wizard in him or her, then that person can then start to dream and see things that aren't in boxes. And the idea is that how, what's common about us all is that we have to travel in some direction. But it ends up being the same. It's just it appears that we're going in opposite directions. And if we were to understand that, we would understand each other better as we speak to each other. We have so many people who are divided over many things. And a lot of time it's because we're not able to travel to that awkward side of, I call the embracing your awkwardness.
Yeah.
And that's the human thing, is our fear of that. The commonality is those who overcome that and travel to the other side, with the courage that they might have to do it, the shame it may take to face certain things. Those people really show us what creativity is like when it's uninhibited and it's beautiful. We all aspire to be like those people, not knowing the pain, you know, like just in the words that you shared at the beginning, you know, the darkness that's there, the glory, to see the glory, you have to be next to that. And so anyway, so I think that's the commonality, is that we all have traveling in a direction. It just may feel like we're opposite, but what if we're really the same as people do, or just it looks like it's going in a different direction?
That's interesting. The one thing I did pick up from what you said, though, you mentioned fear. Perhaps we should speak about that. But I do get the sense where perhaps that's a commonality to release, to let go. You've got to embrace a certain sense of fearless, I would imagine, especially to kind of express from a candid place where it's not, you know, holding back or, you know, holding back certain truths, in a sense. You just let it go. Because then it's almost like there's a level of unrelenting profoundness, pertaining to creativity, I would imagine. But I think it all starts from fears, in a sense. You know, that's a very powerful word that we all kind of, we all relate to in some way. Could you speak to us, perhaps some kind of elaborate some more on your idea of fear and how it kind of holds not only people, but especially artists, in terms of like their expression and growth?
Yeah, that's where that word awkward comes in, because awkward is fear of being in awe of something that's like, oh, I'm extremely uncomfortable from the pit of my stomach about something.
Yeah.
As I would be afraid of standing at the edge of a precipice and with no railing there to keep me. That there's different variations, in other words, of fear. In essence, what that means is the negativity that we all face.
Yeah.
And these emotions, the fear, all the different brands of it, different shades of it, are huge motivators for us as we create as well. On one hand, it can be paralyzing if we're not able to face them properly. Our past traumas always become inspirations for getting in the other direction, which really is us going in that direction. But anyway, so fear, you know, that I think that when I say embracing the awkward, I'm afraid that if I become too structured, if I'm the wizard, but become too much like the robot, I'm going to lose myself, because I'm fearing structure. I'm fearing things that maybe aren't as natural to me as the guy who is an accountant, who his life is structured, or an engineer. And on the other hand, the other direction is fear. So that commonality is really important to see as a human thing. And if we're willing to say, okay, I'm going to be more structured for the sake of being myself, then it becomes, because it's human. If we think of what humans are all alike, we are this paradox of dreams and, you know, we have to take steps in the three dimensions of the world. So what I see it as, stories are the containers for dreams. So the reason that we have a structure of telling a story, or writing poetry, or using words or music within its math of 12 tones, what those are containers for dreams. Our fear, though, is of the container. We fear constraints. We fear our death, our limitations. Only so many laps around the sun. And if we focus so much on that part of things that we don't control, the fact that there's so many hours in the day, so many years of a life, we're afraid of those things, right? Yeah. But if we understand that we can control who we are in this moment,
yeah,
and then we can face that in a different way. Then it's like, why be afraid of things that we can't control, which is very little.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes any sense. I'm going all over the place, but I'm trying to figure this out.
No, I think you're right on the money. I think but from what I gathered, from what I understand, it's almost like it all comes back down to a choice at the end of the day. You know, are you choosing to embrace the fear, or are you choosing to embrace the journey, embrace, you know, look beyond the fear, where be positive, well, it's either fear or faith. So you embrace faith. Now the fear is at a distance. Now it's almost like you can kind of almost you come to a place where you can almost metastasize things that you actually are looking to create or that you dream about, as opposed to you go to the fear and now your nightmares become reality, in a sense. You know, it's almost like it's a choice. And I think what you're speaking about is kind of like, it speaks to one side of the coin, where it's almost like, you know, if you choose not to kind of make a choice, in a sense, because I think, in a sense, by not doing something, you're doing something. And I think, to an extent, that's where I think a lot of people end up being in a fear-based situation, because they never had faith enough to choose something, or to explore enough to actually understand, okay, this is what I want to do. Now you're stuck in a place and you're fearing even making a choice. And as we know, it's almost like fear is a thing where you only, it's like a seed, you know, it grows just like anything else. And it can metastasize, it can become reality. So I think people just, I think the biggest thing right now is awareness, you know, of such. You've got to be aware of your reality and the one you're creating for yourself, because in essence, you are really creating your reality.
you are so right. We are, and that's the thing is the reality, though, that we create is this idea that the creativity is not a product. Creativity is a process. So the process of living or breathing, being here today, is what creativity is. If we say it's a product, it's like looking at someone's life and saying, look at the tombstone, you look at the end, when really that person's value and the things and dreams they had are all happening in the process of them breathing in and breathing out. And so what we're looking in our culture to, at least especially in here in California, of how can you hustle to get a product made? How can you hustle to get new technology forward? How can you hustle to be beyond other folks on social media, whatever it is, when really a product of that, instead of how can I be the person living the person that I know I should be today, my best self? If I don't know myself, I don't know what that's supposed to be. So I have to be self-aware, like you're saying. And so that's what art does. If a person learns to create in some way in their life, and it may be computer code if they're an engineer or something, then what they can see, all the things that they make as a journey, as breathing in and out, as opposed to simply a product.
I mean, the way I like to think about it is that once you make that choice, or you selectively know, and then you make that choice that this is for you, I think pretty much everything just sort of fall into place after that, you know, around you. Because, you know, it's quite universal as well, where it's almost like there's almost like a reciprocation, universal reciprocation. It's almost like, you know, they say, well, why are you attracting this type of people around you? Well, now it's almost like you made that choice. You start to attract what you've decided, what you've made a choice that is for you and you're looking for. You know, there's a profoundness to that, I think.
Some would say we don't have free will whatsoever. And I don't know what to say about that, except that I believe there's kind of a sense of determination based upon many things. Hmm. You know, if I was born in a hut in Asia, my life would... the choices would be different. But I think if we look at, this is why human thriving and flourishing is so important, because to get to the points, to have the idea that we can make a choice to be creative, in other words, requires us to not have danger. If you're in Palestine or some other place, you have danger, and you may not be thinking about those things at the moment. You may think about, how can I protect my family or escape? I'm a refugee now. What does that look like? I just met a young woman who's actually an older woman, and her daughter, who's a young woman, but they escaped Ethiopia during a time in history there. It was her journey is her story. It's an amazing story, how to get out. But her creation came once she was able to tell that story, to be able to be out of danger. And so this is why we need to support each other as, first of all, artists. We need to, what we are showing the world, this is why artists are taken out when someone takes over. They take the journalists, but they also take the artists, the poets, and the musicians. They round them up, because these kinds of questions are dangerous to people in power who want to control, who want to maintain that you don't have a choice. When we see we have a choice and we can aspire, then there's something beautiful about what we discover in each other. Because for me to create, for you to create, like to share your words earlier, that's something that I'm able to breathe in. So when I want to breathe out something, I've been given a gift from another person. And I believe that the more we can value that, the process of that. And I think that's what artists provide the rest of the world when it comes to creativity.
Yes. I don't know, there's something about just creating, for, especially for artists, where it's almost like, it's like innovation. It's I think it comes naturally for artists, more than not. And it's just in that whole idea where it's almost like a fuel, you know, innovation. And perhaps it's a way to almost to kind of cater to evolving, in a sense. It's just something I was thinking in my head, you know. But innovation, I say that to say, because I was thinking about this quote. I can't remember where I had it from, but it was basically kind of like speaking on the importance of the two, where you have, of course, you have your entrepreneurs and people that's more corporate and, you know, technical, business-minded type of people. But on the other side, on the flip of the coin, then you have the artist. And then, you know, when you think about even some of the buildings, that the beautiful things, you know, it starts but with art to begin with, you know, the architecture and all kind of stuff like that, just designing so many monumental things that we have in this world right now. Going to the moon, you know, somebody dreamt that one day, you get what I mean? And I think that's it just kind of speaks to the importance of having that type of person around you, where it's almost like, or maybe the combination of the two, where you have the business and just kind of just iron out things in a practical sense, but you also have the artist that can really just kind of, it's the dreamer. And eventually you develop that ability to kind of express. And you might not do it, but somebody made your dream into, like, it comes to fruition. And just, you know, I think there's so much power to that. Especially to what you said in terms of like somebody in a situation, and you know, they're almost inflicted you on they're almost taken on this journey by just listening to something that you express across the world in Vietnam or whatnot, where they are, and they hear something, and you know, it's almost like now you've planted a seed. Now this person wants to know more about what was that I heard. He goes, does the research, and now he figures, oh man, I think I want to do this myself. Now he wants to be a professional. Now he's growing. Now he has dreams. He has even more dreams, to the point where he perhaps wants a better life for himself. You know, and now he has the tools. He has a skill set. He could probably possibly figure things out and move away from his situation to something better. I guess I'm saying you just never know where art is going to take you, in a sense, which speaks.
I love that. I think that's true, because you, as an artist, are breathing in and out, and maybe not as, because it's earlier on you learn skills and eventually some of it becomes muscle memory. And so you do your thing and master, have some sense of mastery over time of it. But what it really is breathing in, which is inspiration, and then aspiration. How do I breathe out? And so when we are around each other as creators, that's one reason you get a bunch of creators in a room and things happen. A friend of mine put together an event in Silicon Valley here for creatives, because in Silicon Valley here in California, artistic creativity is hidden. Technology and business and those folks, they get the limelight. When I lived in Los Angeles, it's an entertainment town, so creatives, everybody has to be creative, even if you're not. But anyway, so we were in a room with a bunch of folks who were photographers and painters, illustrators and musicians, and the natural exhaling of what they're offering, because some were sharing what their creativity was, and to be able to take that and that energy is so important, which is why, you know, a show like yours is important, because what it does is displays, this is who we are as human beings. And if we can see another person and breathe some of that inspiration in, we can then take that idea and maybe take it over here. That's why it's hard sometimes for the business world to understand artists, because they think, again, product, they don't think process. And process is really what artists live for. We want a product. We want to sell something or have people see it or read it. But when it all said and done, who we are is just inhaling and exhaling this, and trying to have some courage as we talk about fear, to do it. But you said this interesting, because you had the two sides of the coin. And my argument is that we have the robot and wizard, the two sides of the coin. Is that really, that's us. And we can see one of the signs, you know, when it's on the table, and that's maybe who we think we really are. But it's that other side, or having in our community people on the other side who help us to capture that. So if I show up on time as a musician, I'll work more. So I got to think like the robot sometimes. And if I'm a musician who's very good technically, but I'm boring, I need to be more creative. So there's, I mean, this is one reason classical music has lost, many have lost interest, because a lot of times it's played, and I have like a nephew who's a cellist, and he's amazing. But a lot of it comes from what you can take in the container of the classical music. It's not about the technique, it's about expressing humanity through this old music. But if you go to a concert and it's just the same, and it's, you know, our ears are going like, I could tell that it's not, you're not living in that moment, musician. You're just playing notes. And oftentimes we reduce what we make to those kinds of things. And we don't see that even in the strictest limitations.
Yes.
We can find a way to express that truer self that we have. I just kind of went off the rail a little bit there, but I think I was. Sorry, Alex. My apologies.
Don't apologize. This is why I created this whole platform, because I want to have conversations like this, and I want to give artists the chance to have conversations like this. So I really appreciate what you said, and it is so many profound things that we're speaking about. And it's almost like I really like what you said, because you kind of gave me a different thought about it, in terms of like, and obviously ultimately I guess what you're trying to breathe is almost balance between the two that you mentioned, going into the mechanical and being a robot, and then you have the magician. You know, if you find balance between the two, then it's harmonious, and things wouldn't be so off balance on either side, if you can kind of find grace, in a sense, between the two. I think there's a lot in that to unpack as well. But also, I'm just thinking, it's almost like, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, you're a robot, and then you look in the mirror, you see a magician. Do you get what I mean? It's almost like, it's almost like, because you said we're one and the same, and when you kind of learn how to almost coexist with the different traits of your person, in a sense, I think that's where the power is. That's where, you know, artists become something more than what they're used to being, in a sense. You know, man.
And the thing, when I did the research on this, because I don't want to trust my ideas, but because I wanted something I could really leave, because I have two young adults who are my children, who are creatives. One, he's a writer, my son, and my daughter's an illustrator and a musician. And I really wanted, you know, how I grew up was just no one could help me with a path of here's how I could kind of see myself a little bit better.
Yeah.
So that's one reason I was motivated to study that. But some of us, our brains are going to be different than other people's brains. The creative person, what we would call the creative person, we're going to be naturally the wizard. And 20% of the population, our brains think more in images, because but everyone's brain is the same. But some of us who somehow have, because of experiences, because of our DNA, whatever, are able to capture that and more. Just like you're able to capture images and use words to you trying to give us a picture. I'm seeing things as you were reading your words earlier. That to other folks, they see more binary in language. And the thing is, you feel like you're not seen sometimes if you're thinking and you're speaking in imagery.
Yes.
And another person is not. And this is the normative, you know, the robotic kind of thing that's going on. So those magicians and wizards over here, it's just what we're wired to do. So we have to translate ourselves from images to words or images to music or to computer code. And that image could be going to the moon, as you mentioned, or something interesting too.
Yeah.
Over here, it's like, how do I make that rocket ship that goes to the moon? How do I construct the word? So even though you're the magician with seeing imagery and putting it into words and hearing how it would sound as well, this person in you wants to say, well, I'm constructing some kind of pentameter here. I'm doing some kinds of things that are scientific in a way, because this is how language works. So really, the balance of it's not so much even saying I have to be balanced. It's just I can't do both at the same time. So I have to be aware of the one that usually I don't like as much. If I get a little better at it, this is what I'm trying to say. If I get a little bit better at that other side, it's going to greatly help. It's going to help me tremendously. Not if I become the robot completely, but if I, as a more, you know, on the spectrum, a wizard, I'm able to tap into that part of that, because both are human. Here's the thing that's important, Alex, is that science is telling us now, both of those are very human ways of thinking that we have both in us, but we're not all, just like some are taller, you know, some can run sprinting better than long distance because of their frame and their legs and their inseam. Like I'm a sprinter. I'm not good at long distance. I try to jog every, you know, 3 times a week if I can. A friend whose legs are longer than mine, it's easier, but I still run. I can still do I'm still wired and designed to do those same things. And I think of being creative, we're all wired to do both these. It's kind of yin and yang or back and forth, but we can't do them at the same time. That's the point. I can't be a scientist while I'm dreaming. I can't be sorting ideas while I'm creating ideas. So if I go back and forth, I have a time where I'm gathering and dreaming ideas, and then I travel the bridge to the science. Now I put it together and I edit. Then I go back and I go back like sanding, and that process eventually, hopefully, maybe something comes from it. Maybe I crumple it up and throw it away, which I do a lot of. I'm glad there's so many bad songs I've written, Alex, that no one's ever heard, and that's my gift to the world.
I love it, man. I love it. I really enjoyed, speaking up on this topic, creativity. And I thank you for being so candid and sharing so much inspiring thought. I think it's important, you know, to have these conversations.
My pleasure.
And thank you so much. We don't really have much time, but I want to thank you for really giving me your time. I would really love for us to kind of have another conversation sometime soon. Really enjoy this conversation.
I'm in, Alex, 100%.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much. And I'll be in touch. I'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.